We will talk about new rules adopted by the DNR board last week, the Natural Resources Board, when it comes to hunting in state parks. And our guest will also respond to some criticisms from some environmental groups that the state is doing too much too quickly to expand hunting in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, September 30th. We heard from a guest from the Sierra Club last week who said she was not anti-hunting, but was concerned that the state was going overboard in approving or even considering various hunting expansion proposals. And she thought this was being done to appease hunting groups at the expense of other people who enjoy hiking and bird watching and photographing and not hunting. We asked you then, and we will ask you now, if you agree with that view or not. Do you think that the state is expanding hunting too fast? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our attempts to get a guest to respond to her concerns were unsuccessful last Wednesday during our big question, perhaps in part because the Natural Resources Board was holding a meeting to consider restrictions on hunting and trapping in state parks. We will hear what the board decided at the meeting, and our guest will also respond to some of these other issues, too. He is Kurt Thiede, Land Division Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So tell us what the Natural Resources Board did last week when it comes to hunting in state parks. What are the new rules?
Sure. And I guess first I'd just like to say thanks for a second opportunity to join your program. We had a full plate ahead of us on Wednesday of last week. So I can go over now at least what the board had decided. The Natural Resources Board last week, as it pertains to state parks, if you recall earlier this year, they had asked us to come back with emergency rules that would prohibit the discharge of firearms either from a trail or across a trail in our state parks. They also wanted us to incorporate rules that would prohibit the use of traps that could catch a dog. We refer to these as dog-proof traps. So that is; those are two of the rules that we presented to the Natural Resources Board last week, and they did adopt both of those provisions, and those will be in place for this fall.
Yeah, and so how's a hunter to know if he's shooting across a trail or not?
Yeah, one of the things that we did when the state park hunting rules came forward is that we identified areas in parks that were either going to be open to hunting or closed, and some of the considerations that we took in considered were areas that had special use zones, obviously campground, beaches, picnic areas, and those areas that had a high amount of trail use. Those were included in areas where hunting would not be allowed. Secondary trails, that's where we're posting maps on all of our properties and also online so that individuals are aware of where they are, where the trail is, and where they're able to shoot.
Mm-hmm. And as for the dog traps, what is that restriction? What's the purpose of that restriction?
Sure. When we, again, going through the public listening sessions, there was a concern just in regards to pets. You and your listeners may be aware, dogs are to be kept on leash and under control when in state parks. However, as we all know, occasionally dogs will roam, and they were concerned that when hiking on trails, dogs could potentially come into contact with traps that were used for trapping. And again, in an effort to try to reduce conflicts, the proposal that was put forward was to utilize what's referred to as a dog-proof trap. That's an enclosed-type trap that would prevent a dog or anyone else from coming into contact and becoming ensnared in the trap.
Yeah. So is this happening right now, Kurt? Is hunting going on in state parks right now?
Nope. The start of the hunting seasons in state parks would begin on November the 15th. That was one of the considerations as a result of the legislation that opened up parks for more hunting. And so starting on November the 15th, that's when the new areas of parks would be open.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note, I guess, too, that a lot of the questions that I've been answering recently, parks had been open previously, many of them, to forms of deer hunting, some small game, and turkey hunting. So what this really does is expand some of the areas where that's allowed. And again, in the board's decision earlier this year, limited the time period as well as some of the areas where the hunting could take place.
Well, this allowing more hunting in state parks was just one example that some other groups said was an illustrative of the expansion of hunting in Wisconsin at the expense of other outdoors people, those people who just want to hike and birdwatch, et cetera. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, the first thing when I hear that is I think maybe that means we're not doing quite an adequate job of kind of telling the other things that are taking place in Wisconsin for the non-hunting public. This past year, we've completed some major trail projects. One recently, we just approved a stewardship grant for Jefferson County that's going to expand some of the connections in that part of the state for trail riding. We've seen in fiscal year 12 an expanded use of our state parks, record years as far as visitors and income. And then not to mention, just not too long ago, we had designated our first state water trail, the Lake Michigan Water Trail. And then when we start thinking about hunting or non-hunting, anytime that we add land to our state's inholdings, we are adding not only opportunities for hunters, but also non-hunters. So the successful stewardship acquisitions, just this past year, we added almost 60,000 acres that are available for the public. So that's kind of my first reaction. And then I guess the second one is also a commitment from the agency that we are supportive of hunters. It's something that from the early days of conservation in this country, hunters are important for not only management, it's part of our tradition, but then they're also important for funding.
How so?
Well, from a funding perspective, you know, annually we're generating anywhere from $37 to $38 million a year in license revenues. Those dollars also match federal funding, somewhere on the order of around $14 million a year, depending on the year. All of that funding helps fund our wildlife management programs, much of our land management programs. So that funding benefits both hunters and non-hunters.
The another general concern or criticism from our program last week was that the DNR used to adhere to science-based, you know, research-based management techniques, and that the concern was that wasn't being done as much now because of this rush, this need to appease hunting groups and, I guess, raise that revenue or save the hunting tradition in Wisconsin, that the DNR is throwing this science out the window and just allowing things to happen that they might not have in the past. What's your reaction to that?
Sure. I guess I'd use a couple of examples where I don't see that happening. One, earlier this year, the Natural Resources Board adopted what we refer to as a scientific integrity policy. That's something that never existed previously within this agency. What that does is it basically outlines the ground rules under which the Department of Natural Resources conducts research and how it utilizes that research to make decisions. It covers both biological research, and then I think something else that when we think of science, we often forget about the social science, which is also very important in the work that we do. I guess the other example that I would use, and that comes down to wolf management. I know there was a lot of concern early on after delisting that as soon as the state was received management authority, that we would see a significant decline. We tried to reassure folks that that we were going to go slow, we were going to be responsible, and we were going to use science to make our decisions. We proved that last year, and then again going into this year, utilizing scientific data. We have one of the most robust data collection when it comes to data collection systems, when it comes to wolf management. And I think the more examples like this that we have for the public, they'll see that science does weigh in, whether that be social or biological, into our decision.
Why wasn't the Sierra Club allowed a seat at the table on some wolf hunt management commission?
Yeah, what we did is there's a number of interests that are have differing opinions, or maybe some of the same opinions when it comes to wolf management. But we had probably, I think, at our first roundtable meeting, and that's where we invited everyone together, that whether they want to see wolves managed or not, whether they want to see wolves in Wisconsin or not, they were all invited to the table for a roundtable meeting. Sierra Club was included. We utilized that meeting to get their feedback and input onto the directions they wanted to see the wolf management go, the wolf management plan. But then when it came to the actual developing of the permanent rule for wolf management, quotas for wolf management going into this season, and then the construct for the wolf management plan, we went back to our traditional study committee structure within the agency, which is typically working with those statewide conservation organizations that are looking for and helping us with management decisions. The decision on whether or not we are going to manage wolves in Wisconsin, that decision was made back in 1999 with the Wolf Management Plan. We are now responsible for management, and that's really our focus, and that's the committee that's dealing with charting our course forward and also developing the next plan. There's definitely going to be opportunities for the public, for the Sierra Club, the many of the other organizations to have input onto the next wolf management plan, the next rule, and our quotas annually during our discussions, whether it be through roundtables or public hearings.
We are talking with Kurt Thiede. He is Land Division Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He is addressing some criticism, some concerns heard on this program last week that too much is being done to expand hunting in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions about this. Do you think that Wisconsin has done too much to expand hunting, too little, or just right? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What questions or concerns in general do you have about hunting in Wisconsin? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about hunting in Wisconsin during this half hour with Kurt Thiede, Land Division Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And before we go to the phones, I wanted to ask you, Kurt, about this other decision, or is it a proposal? It's a decision, I think, that the new DNR policy that will prevent another giggles, the deer incident from happening again when a deer was a fawn was euthanized that was being held by a private individual. What's going to happen with that now?
It is a proposal. You're correct. Last week at the Natural Resources Board, we also discussed some policy changes that will go into effect. The first being allowing an individual to rehabilitate deer in a county that has had CWD. Previously, that was not allowed. So that is one thing that will go into effect. What we're referring to, most likely as part of the proposal, was a provision that had been requested by the governor's office for possible solutions to avoid a giggle situation. And for, I guess, listeners that aren't aware, there was an incident in Kenosha County where a deer was being held illegally, and by law, the department's hands were tied as far as what options were available to us. This has happened more than once, and it seems to happen each year, where you have individuals, well-meaning, take deer, though, unfortunately, and other animals from the wild, take them into their possession, and treat them as pets. They think they're doing the right thing, but really wild animals belong in the wild. So what we had proposed was an option that when you cannot find a a solution that's acceptable both publicly, and we definitely heard our previous actions were widely criticized. We were looking for another alternative, and the alternative that was presented would be that as part of a fine and provided certain conditions were met for the housing and care of that animal. The animal would stay within the public trust, but then it would be the individual would be allowed to keep it. So that's only a proposal. It would still require legislation in order to enact that. But when we come to these highly emotional situations, without any additional changes, it's very likely we could be facing a similar situation in the future.
Right. So the DNR wants to avoid euthanizing a fawn like Giggles and what happened in the past. But the Natural Resources Board is very concerned about this proposed change in policy because some fear it could lead to the privatization of wildlife?
Yeah, I think that was one of the concerns that they raised, is whether or not allowing a person to keep that animal would be going down the wrong path. Can certainly appreciate that perspective. I think just as a bit of history on that issue, as soon as 2001, there was a change prior to 2001 in the state when an individual wanted to create a deer farm in Wisconsin. They did have the ability to erect a fence, and animals that were inside, specifically deer, were turned over, and the individual could reimburse the state for those animals. They actually became their private property. There was a change in the advent of chronic wasting disease and other diseases such as bovine TB to not allow that anymore. And there was, kudos to the captive industry regarding some of the rules that were put in place back in the early 2000s. So this isn't, I think there's a number of individuals that see this as something that's brand new. This has existed previously. The Natural Resources Board has raised their concern. And obviously, going forward, perhaps there's another solution out there, but I think what we're trying to do is find, are there any proposals that could assist when policies bump up against so much public scrutiny and opposition?
Well, let's take some calls. Margo in River Falls is with us. Hello, Margo.
Hi. I was a school counselor, and I dealt with young men mainly from my high school, who went out shooting. And while I was in this small school, two young men were killed because the guys were out drinking and shooting. And let me tell you, after that incident, did not make me happy. Another incident was my father was a hunter. He loved hunting, and he respected hunters and the laws. He went out, he was sitting, taking a nap under a tree, you know how hunters do it. He was close to being killed, and he was following all the rules. The other guy was not, I don't know what to say, but this is awful, because many of my friends would walk in the woods for peace. How can we walk in the woods with hunters with guns?
All right, Margo, she's obviously emotional over some shooting incidents, hunter non-safety incidents. I don't know. Do you have a response to that, Kurt Thede?
Well, the main thing I guess I would just share with Margo was my sympathies for her having to deal with those situations, and obviously that's something that no one wants to have to deal with. I guess I would just differentiate a bit. You had indicated that it was a hunting-related incident, and I think when we talk about shooting taking place, we have to remember that in hunting in the state of Wisconsin, we have an amazing hunter education program. We have very few, if any, hunting-related incidents during the 9-day gun deer season and throughout the rest of the year. It's something that we're very much committed to, is a safe hunt. It is part of our culture. Just as you talked with your previous guest about Secretary Brenzel, about fall being a time for harvest, apples, pumpkins, when we start thinking about fall in Wisconsin, hunting is on everyone's mind, a majority of people's mind. And I think what we're looking to do is to work with our hunters, make sure it's safe, and make sure that it can be conducted so situations that Margo expressed are not and do not occur.
Yeah. Sorry, Margo, for your situation. Don in Wausau, we're almost out of time, Don, but I want to give you a shot, so to speak. Don, are you there? Oh, boy. Sorry, Don, we can't hear you. You lost connection on your cell phone. I think he was going to make somewhat of a similar point to Kurt Thiede that that this is a part of Wisconsin's tradition, but I think he was even going to go so far as to say that people now really are hunting for meat and not necessarily for the thrill of the hunt.
Well, and I think that's it's my personal situation. I enjoy hunting very much, but it has definitely helped and feed a couple of hungry boys in our house. And I think what we're also seeing, not only in the traditional families or in the rural communities, Joy, but we're also seeing that here in Madison, our hunter recruitment retention specialist has had a lot of interest from something referred to as the locavore movement, where individuals want to harvest their organic local food locally and consume it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Joy.
Kurt Thiede, Land Division Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.